Appreciate the Lord dealing with hearts this week for those who have made their way to the altar, and I'm sure that there's been decisions made there in the pew as well. And need to make sure we get on track and stay on track, amen, that we don't take those wrong turns, amen. And I like what Brother Ken Mungie, fellow from the church where I got saved over in Illinois, he said we need to keep the scope of our spiritual rifle on the cross at all times. Keep it in view. Amen. Exodus chapter 8. I want to read, I'm just going to read verse 1, and then I'm going to drop down to verse number 25, and then we'll be looking at some of these verses. Notice what the Word of God says. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Verse number 25 of chapter 8. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and they will not stone us. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, and he shall, as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away, entreat for me. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarm of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people of people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. Let's pray for just a moment. And Father, we thank you again that we can come into your presence tonight. We do thank you, Father, that you have given us the avenue of prayer, that we can come before your throne and bring our request before you. And Father, our request tonight is that you would just take full and complete control. Lord, I pray that you would hide this preacher behind the cross, that the Lord Jesus Christ might be high and lifted up. I pray, Father, that you would once again honor your word, that you would anoint it, that it go forth in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we're asking that you would once again give us clarity of thought and help us, Father, once again to try to communicate the message that you've placed within our hearts tonight. And Father, certainly we'll give you the praise and thanks for what you do. In Jesus' name we do pray, believing. Amen. We all remember the game show, Let's Make a Deal. Everybody remember that show? I don't know if it's still on or not. On that show, the contestant would have the choice to trade what they had for what was behind door number one, door number two, or door number three. Sometimes it was a good deal and sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes, you know, they might have had something that was of value and they said, I want door number two. And they opened up and there was a goat, you know, or, you know, it's just something that they didn't really want or really need. But the idea was that they would trade what they had that was for what was behind one of those doors. And again, as I said, sometimes it was a good deal and sometimes it wasn't. Here in Exodus, as we read chapters 7 through 12, we know that the children of Israel are in bondage in Egypt. Of course, we know that Egypt is a type of the world. When we come to chapters 7 through 12, God commands Moses to go to Pharaoh and to command him to let the children of Israel go. Of course, he refuses. So God sends these 10 plagues among the Egyptians to convince Pharaoh to let the people go. And time again, we find here that Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. And he says he's going to let them go. And then he doesn't let them go. So God sends these 10 different plagues and amongst the people. And the 10 plagues are interesting in and of themselves to study because it represents the different gods that the Egyptians worshipped. And so God was using those things to try to bring Pharaoh to the place that he would let the children of Israel go. And during these plagues, Pharaoh tries to get Moses to compromise. And we're going to look at some of that tonight. He's trying to get him to compromise and not go the way God wants them to go. In other words, he was saying, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. Pharaoh was saying, well, Moses, you know, let's compromise here just a little bit. Boy, I tell you, that's exactly the way the devil works on you and I today. See, listen, he knows that if we are born again, if we are God's children, we're saved by the grace of God. He knows that he cannot take us to hell with him, but he wants to do everything he can to make us compromise and not go all the way for the Lord. The devil's all the time. Listen, he comes to us all the time and says, let's make a deal. Let's just compromise just a little bit. It'd be all right. You'd be okay in the end. But the truth of the matter is you won't be. In chapter 8 and chapter 10, I see we have not just door number 1, door number 2, and door number 3, but I see door number 4 as well. And I'm actually going to throw another one in there, door number 5, because 5 is the number of grace, amen. So I want to look at these doors this evening and see if God can help us to see our need of being totally dedicated and consecrated unto him. Notice with me door number 1. We read verse 1 of chapter 8, but I want us to read that verse again. But know what it says. Notice what it says. The Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. And then down in verse number 25, it says, and Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And notice he said, go and sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. So what was he saying here? In door number 1, he was saying, hey, just you can sacrifice, but just do it here. Just do it here. You can have your sacrifice. Just do it here. And Moses said, not so. We cannot sacrifice unto God the things that are due unto him in this land in which we are slaves in. Because the sacrifices that we make will be an abomination unto the Egyptians, and the sacrifices that the Egyptians make will be an abomination unto God. Listen, we cannot, we have to live in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. I know we have to live in it, but we don't have to be of it. It would be an abomination to God if they should offer Egyptian sacrifice. It would be an abomination to Pharaoh to offer God's sacrifices in a heathen land. It is foolish for us to try to offer to God our sacrifice of service in a heathen land. Now you say, what do you mean by it, preacher? You just said that we have to live in the world, but listen, we don't have to be of the world. We can separate ourselves and we can sacrifice unto our God. But Pharaoh said, let's just make a deal. You can have your sacrifice, but don't leave the land. Listen, you cannot be what God wants you to be and hang on to the things of the world. Hang on to the world. You can't do it. Listen, the Bible, I believe it's in Matthew, says you cannot serve God and mammon. For you will love the one and hate the other, or you cleave to the one and despise the other. You can't have it both ways. Listen, and that's what Pharaoh was trying to get Moses and Aaron and the children of Israel to do, was just to stay there and make their sacrifices unto God in a heathen land, when Moses knew that God would not accept the sacrifice. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So he says, here, let's make a deal. This is what you have. Do you want to trade it for door number 1? You can have your sacrifice if you just stay in the land. No, we have to be separated. Come out from among you them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. But Moses knew that that was not possible. He knew it couldn't be done. In verses 27 and 28 of chapter 8, we come to the second door, the door number 2, and notice what he says. Moses says, we will go 3 days' journey in the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, and he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far, entreat for me. So here's door number 2. He says, all right, you can have your sacrifice, but you can't go very far. You got to sacrifice nearby. I don't want you to go too far away. I'll let you go, but you can't go that 3 days' journey. Listen, that's another one of the deals of the devil. He says, I don't mind if you go just a little ways, but don't go all the way. Hey, you know, it's all right. I don't care if you go to church on Sunday morning. That's all right. But just don't go all the way. Don't go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Don't go all the way. I want you to stay close. See, that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to stay close to him, stay within his influence, stay within in the realm that he wants you to be in. He didn't want the children of Israel to go too far because he knew he couldn't get them back. That's exactly what the devil does with you and I. Remember the 3 Hebrew children in the book of Daniel in chapter number 3? Nebuchadnezzar had made that great image of himself, and they said, what time you hear the psaltery and the harp and all those instruments play that you were to bow down before the great image of Nebuchadnezzar? And they blew the trumpets, and they played the harps, and they played the psaltery and all these different things, and everybody bowed down to that image, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down before it. And so his spies came and told Nebuchadnezzar, says, those 3 Hebrew children you have, they didn't bow. And so he tries to get them to compromise and say, I'm going to give you a second chance. That's the way the devil works. So I'll give you a second chance. If he doesn't get you one way, he'll try another way. He said, I'm going to give you a second chance. When you hear the instruments, you hear the music, I want you to bow down. And they said, we've made up our mind. We're not going to bow before you. And said, our God will deliver us. Our God is able. And my friend, you know the story, how they wouldn't bow. He said, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And he had them heated 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. Even those who went up there to throw the Hebrew children in, the flames killed them. But my friend, the Word of God says that Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and he said, we're not the 3 thrown in there, but I see 4 in the fire. And the 4th is like unto the Son of God. Listen, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't budge, and they wouldn't burn. Why? Because they were not willing to compromise. And that's the way the children of Israel is here. Moses knew exactly what God said. He says, you go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And Moses goes to him and says, God has told me to tell you to let the children of Israel go. And he says, you can just sacrifice here in the land. Just make a little compromise and just stay in the world and stay close to the things of the world and sacrifice here. And Moses said, no, we can't do that. He said, well, all right, I'll let you go just a little way, but not all the way. See, the devil doesn't care if you get just a little bit involved, but he wants you to go all the way. He wants you to go all the way. He said, don't go too far. See, Pharaoh's convictions said, let them go. Notice what it says in verse 28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. His conviction said, let them go, but his corruptions said, don't go very far. The devil doesn't want us to go all the way for the Lord. He wants us to hold back. Listen, God's dealing in your heart right now. There's things that God has spoke to your heart about that he wants you to do, and you know that he wants you to do it. But the devil's saying, hey, whoa, 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 don't go too far. They'll think you're a fanatic. One of the young men that I work with, he's, I don't know, about 22, 23 years old. He is a basketball fanatic. He knows all the teams. He knows all the players' names. He knows all the stats. He is a Bulls fan through and through. He's a fanatic. It's okay if you're a baseball or a basketball or football fanatic. It's all right if you go all the way and you go to the game and you paint your face blue and you dye your hair blue and you do all these things. And listen, I'm not against sports. I go out and have a good time, enjoy it. But listen, we say they're a fanatic. That just means that listen, I want to be a fanatic too. I'm a fan. I want to be a fanatic of Jesus. Amen. But if we go all the way for Jesus, people say, man, he's a religious fanatic. And the devil said they'll make fun of you if you go all the way. Just go part way. Moses said, and look what Moses said in verse 29. And Moses said, behold, no, that's not the verse one. Verse 27, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us.
Yes.
Amen. Well, I thought about that, and I thought about Jesus went all the way for us. Yes. He went the 3 days.
Right.
He went the 3 days and the three nights. He went all the way to Calvary, my friend, and bore our sins in his body on the tree. He suffered my hell so that I don't have to. And he was buried in that borrowed tomb. And he was there for 3 days and three nights, my friend. He went all the way for you and I. Boy, I think about that song. I like it. It's a good song. He could have called 10,000 angels. Listen, he could have come down off that cross. When they come to the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest him, and of course we know Peter, what Peter did, he pulled his sword and he cut off the ear of the servant's ear, and Jesus put it back on. But Jesus could just the thought and they'd all been dead. When they arrested him, they took him between those mock trials. Listen, he could have wiped them all out. My friend, when they made him carry that cross out the Via Dolorosa and they began to nail him to that old rugged cross, he could have stopped them. When they put him up on that cross between heaven and earth, my friend, he could have come down off that cross. He could have called 10,000 angels. But my friend, he went all the way for you and I. We need to go 3 days' journey. We need to go all the way. We need to separate. We need to be different. So door number two, he says, oh, you can sacrifice, but just don't go very far away. Oh, you can be a little bit involved, but don't become a fanatic. Don't go all the way. That's one of the reasons I believe our churches are suffering today, because people just are not willing to go all the way.
Amen.
Just not willing to say, Lord, I'll do. Listen, you're not doing it for the pastor. You're doing it for God.
Yes.
Because it's what the Lord has told us to do. That we are to give ourselves totally and completely unto him. Go with me over to chapter number 10 as we see door number 3. Notice what it says in chapter 10, beginning with verse number 7. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? So Pharaoh was asking the question, who's going to go? So you can go serve or go sacrifice to the Lord your God. And verse 9, Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old and with our sons and with our daughters and with our flocks and with our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go. And your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. Not so, go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So what's Pharaoh saying here? In door number three, what's the devil saying here? What's the deal that he wants to make? He says, the men can go, but you got to leave your families behind. Moses back here in verse 9 says, we'll go with our young and our old and our sons and our daughters and our flocks and our herds. But Pharaoh says in verse 11, not so. Go now that ye that are men. Just the men can go. You leave your wife and your children, your herds and your flocks behind. Listen. The devil, if he can't get the whole family, he'll try to get part of the family, and part of the family will go on and try to serve God, but then the devil will get the rest of the family where they won't serve God. Moses said, not so. So we're taking everybody. The young, the old, our sons, our daughters, our herds, our flocks, everybody's gonna go. Listen, it should be our heart's desire to get our whole family into the house of God under the preaching and teaching of God's word to see them saved. Amen. Just a little over the year ago, Janet's mother went to be with the Lord. When we were there in Illinois for the funeral, Pastor Snow, the pastor I was saved under, was our pastor for several years, and Janet's mom's pastor for years, and her younger brother Randy, who pastors over in Illinois, he was called to preach out of that church. I was called to preach out of that church. Brother Snow and Randy and myself had a part in the service. Brother Snow preached it. But I got up and I said this. I said, I always called Janet's mom Granny. She always called me Foxy and I always called her Granny. I said, it was always Granny's desire to see all the family in church. I said, but not this way. I said, I'm glad you're here to honor your mother. But she always wanted to see you in church, and she always told you about Jesus. She always told you how you need to get saved and get into church and follow the Lord. She, one of her heart's desires was to see you in church, but not this way. Not at a funeral. We had the service there in at Benson Baptist Church. That should be our desire. My heart's desire is to see all 8 of my grandkids in church. I'll be honest with you. My heart's desire is to see my son-in-law and daughter back in a good, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Because they're not right now. But to see all my grandkids brought up in church under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, I am concerned about the direction that four of my granddaughters are headed, the road that they're going down, that their parents are allowing them to travel on. My friend, listen, I don't want to leave any of them behind. But you know what? We're afraid to say anything to them. Janet and I have come to the place, I don't care if I do make them mad. Listen, I'm just sharing my heart with you. My son-in-law and our daughter both grew up in independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist homes. My son-in-law's dad pastors a church in Rushville, Indiana, an independent Baptist church. They both know what's right. And we used to tiptoe around it, but not anymore. I tell them they're wrong. My daughter said sometime back, said it to Janet, about how my preaching had changed. Janet said, Sarah, your dad's preaching hasn't changed. You have.
Amen.
You have. I preach the same today as I did when I first started preaching. I just preach the Bible. But see, the devil will say, that's all right, just let them go on their own way. Let them stay behind. The men can go, but leave the rest of the family behind. And see, that's what the devil's done to some of you. Your family's not in church. Your kids aren't in your church. The grandkids aren't in church. And the devil has sold you a bill of goods, said, now don't say anything to them because it might make them mad. I don't care if it makes them mad. I'm going to tell them the truth. Because I got to stand before God one day and answer for it.
Yes.
He said, oh, you can go, but not everybody. He says, okay for the men to go. Moses says, No. He said, we're all going. The young and the old, our sons and our daughters, our herds and our flocks. God said, Pharaoh, let my people go. Door number three, they're just trying to sacrifice the family. Notice chapter 10, verse 24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not what we must serve the Lord until we come hither. Moses said, no, we're not leaving anything behind. We're not leaving any of our possessions behind. We're not leaving anything that God has given us behind. We're going to take everything that we have. We're going to take with us because we don't know how much we're going to have for the sacrifices, for the offerings. My friend, listen, the devil will try to get you to leave some behind and not take everything with you. Listen, we have to be willing to give it all. I own nothing. And neither do you. It's not your house. It's not your car. It's not your clothes. It's not your food. God has provided it. And listen, everything that God has blessed us with, we are to be willing to sacrifice for Him. Moses had no idea how many cattle or sheep he was going to have for sacrifices. Listen, we don't know what God is going to ask us to sacrifice, but we are to be willing to give it all. We are to be able, we be willing to say, Lord, here I am. Do with me what you will. Be willing. Now, it doesn't mean God's going to ask you for everything. But you need to be willing. Time and time again, as we actually begin in chapter 7 of Exodus through chapter 12, and Moses goes to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh hardens his heart, and God hardens his heart, and God sends these 10 different plagues, and time again, Pharaoh says, all right, I'm going to let you go, and then he's deceitful about it, and he won't let him go, and time again, God sends judgment upon them, and the children of Israel are not even bothered by these chastisement that's sent upon the Egyptians. I mean, when there was all darkness, they had light. When there was all the frogs, they didn't have any. When there was all the lice, they didn't have any. When there was all the flies, they didn't have any. My friend, when all their cattle died that because of the plague that God sent, the children of Israel's herds did not die. My friend, time and time and time and time and time again, as God sent those judgments upon the land of Egypt, the children of Israel were spared those things because he was God. They were God's chosen people. But Pharaoh continued to harden his heart. Hey, you think Pharaoh didn't know what his end was going to be? You think the devil doesn't know what his end is? He knows he's fighting a losing battle. He knows this book better than you and I. He knows one day he's going to be cast into the bottomless pit. Forever and ever and ever and ever. And he wants to take as many lost souls with him as he can. And he wants to destroy, he wants to defeat, he wants to detour every Christian that he can along the way. Chapter 12. The last plague is probably the most familiar plague. As God tells Moses and Aaron to go to Pharaoh one last time, he says, unless you let my people go, all the firstborn of Egypt, all the firstborn of children, all the firstborn of all your cattle, of your flocks are going to die. And so God directs Moses to go to the children of Israel and tells them to take a lamb, and they were to pin that lamb up and to observe that lamb and make sure it had no blemish, had no spots, didn't have any kind of defect at all. And then on the 14th day of what the Lord says, this is going to be the first month of the year, said that on the 14th day of that month, you are to take that lamb and you are to slay that lamb, you are to take a piece of hyssop and you are to dip that hyssop in the blood of that lamb, and you are to apply it to the lintel and to the doorpost. So when the death angel passes through the land of Egypt, that the death angel would pass by where the blood had been applied. And boy, listen, that'll preach there for a while, that blood, praise God. They put the blood on the outside of the door. They put it on the doorposts on each side and on the lintel. My friend, I think that's making kind of a form of the cross, amen. And the blood was on the outside to where it could be seen, and the death angel came through, and all the firstborn of Egypt died. And it says there was a great cry as they never heard before. And finally, in verse number 31, notice what it says in chapter 12. And he called Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and your children also, and go serve the Lord as ye have said, and take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we all be dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians the jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. My friend, listen, door number 5, if they're sincere sacrifice, it'll pay. They got more than they bargained for. They got their old ones, they got their young ones, they got their herds, they got their flocks. My friend, they got the jewels of gold, they got the jewels of silver, they got the dough, they got the kneading troughs, they got the raiment. My friend, they got more than they bargained for because they were willing to go all the way. Sincere sacrifice will pay. The devil will say, well, you don't want to do that. You don't really want to give to missions. You don't want to give that much to missions. You don't want to put a tenth of your salary in the offering plate for a tithe. You don't want to give that sacrificial offering. You got better things to do with your time than to go out soul winning. You got this to do and that to do. You don't really want to go to your unsaved family and tell them about Jesus, and unless they repent and get saved, they're going to go to hell because it's going to make them mad. But my friend, listen, sincere sacrifice will pay. When we give it all. The devil has sold us a bill of goods. I've heard people say, "Well, my children aren't in a good Bible-believing church, but at least they're in church. They might as well go down to the corner bar. Amen. If they're not going to hear the Word of God. Yes. Might as well go to the ball game. Mm-hmm. Might as well just sit at home. Yes. Oh, but at least they're going to church. But what are they hearing?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Some flowery speech. No, they need to be in a church that preaches the Word of God.
Amen.
The benefits are out of this world.
Yes.
The devil says, let's just make a deal. Door number one, door number two, door number three, door number four. There might be more doors than that. Let's make a deal. Let's compromise. Just don't get too dedicated. Don't get too involved. Now listen, folks, one day the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in our body according to that which we have done, whether it be good or bad. Every born-again child of God will stand before the bema seat of judgment and give an account of their Christian life. I'm going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day and give an account of my Christian life. I'm going to have to give an account of the way I raised my children. I'm going to have to give an account of the influence that I've been on my children and my grandchildren, my co-workers, other family members and neighbors. I'm going to have to give an account for that. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, some of it would be gold, silver, and precious stone, but some of it would be wood, hay, and stubble. Some of it's going to burn up. Oh, still saved, so as by fire. But loss of reward. Every one of us are going to have to stand there alone and give an account. That message I preached last night, we ain't going to be able to blame it on anybody. We ain't going to be able to hide it. Everything is going to be open. And listen, my friend, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, one day you'll stand at the great white throne of judgment. And if you are not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, my friend, you will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. That's the truth. Two judgments. The Bible tells us there in Revelation, it says that God will wipe all tears from our eyes. I don't believe that's until after the Bema Seat and after the great white throne of judgment. I believe we as God's children will be able to see the great white throne of judgment. And we'll have tears because we'll see loved ones that the devil persuaded us not to tell about Jesus. And they died without Christ. And they'll be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. We'll stand there with our heads hung in shame when the Lord says, why didn't you go all the way for me? I went all the way for you. I went all the way to Calvary for you. Why weren't you willing? I wasn't asking you to go to a cross and be crucified. But why weren't you willing to give your life for the cause of Christ? And any excuse that we ever had this side of that Bema seat would seem so ridiculous, so inadequate. The devil wants to make a deal. You know what? I think I'm just going to hold on to what I've got. I'm going to hang on to Jesus. I'm not going to trade it for door number one or door number two or door number three. No, devil, I don't want to make a deal. Because what I've got is of far more value than what you could ever offer me. But I'm afraid there's some tonight that are here tonight who have already traded. But listen, my friend, just like that tiny little boy who was standing on the street corner, he says, "You can get me to the church where the big cross is lit. I can find my way home. There was an old, lonely old pathway I had trod. It was so unfamiliar. But I remember the place where I first felt His grace. If I can just get back to the cross, just get back to Jesus, everything will be all right." He wants. He just like the prodigal son, the Father is watching and waiting and longing for you to come back. What are you going to do? You going to make a deal? Or are you going to say, "Devil, get ye behind me. Satan, get you behind me. I'm going to keep focused on the cross." Let's stand together.